Amen. Good morning. Truly is a blessing to be in the house of prayer. God has allowed us to come together. Amen. Amen. To everyone in their respective places, thank God for Mother Gloria being here. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to see her. Amen. Amen. We're looking at a testimony. Amen. Amen. That's how a testimony looks. Amen. God is blessing her. Amen. I don't know if we don't have anything on the board today. See, that's why you don't mess with technology. Amen. I'm not being funny. I'm just being real. You just want to be as plain as you can be. You ain't got to worry about that. See, that'll mess your day up right there. Amen. If you're a person that loves technology, see, that'll mess your day up. It'll make you mad if you're dependent on that. But if you're not depending on that, see, you ain't got to worry about that. Amen. I ain't talking about, I'm just saying, you ain't got to worry about that. But nevertheless, that happens. Amen. Amen. Turn to, so you got to go the old-fashioned way. You got to, amen, you bring your Bible. God forbid if your phone go out. Yeah, you better, you just bag up. You better get with somebody with a Bible. I'm just saying, get with somebody with a Bible. Jeremiah chapter 1. My son probably think I'm getting ready to preach about him. He's not too fond of someone else sharing his name or someone having his name. So it's just burning him up right now on the inside. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Some good stuff. I'm reading from the King James Version. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. Amen. To the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. Amen. I'm working on trying not to really print out papers. Amen. I know folks say you're killing trees. They don't like that. They get mad at you. Why are we killing trees? God put it there for us to use it. And I'm going to use it. Amen? If God didn't want us to use it, he wouldn't put it there. That's just what I say. Jeremiah, What can we say about him? We know that he's a weeping prophet. We've heard about that. He likes to cry. Amen. That's one of the things that he's known for. But this lesson is about God calling his people to service in a spirit of their inadequacies. Okay? And about his preparing those who he calls. Amen? The Lord, he ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet. He called Jeremiah to preach against them, and he knew that Jeremiah would try to make an excuse as to why he can't do it. That's pretty much what my message is about this morning, is making excuses about not being able to do something. See, God will assign you a demanding task, but he calls us to do this task. And the call of his word is what keeps us going and not quit. God called me to preach the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to do it. But I don't have no choice. Amen. It's a demanding task. And it's something that, I'm going to be honest with you, if I had to choose, it wouldn't be this. What would I do? I would probably be ushering. Amen. I'm going to say this. I probably would be cleaning up the church, because that's what I love to do. I love to clean. I love to do those things. Preaching? No. Not something that I want to do. But God assigns us these demanding tasks. It always seems to be something that you don't want to do anyway. But see, we are great at making excuses. I don't know how. I don't understand. And, you know, we find all kind of excuses to not obey God's word, God's voice. We'll say something like, oh, that's the preacher's job to preach, to tell people about Christ. That ain't what I'm supposed to do. Bible says, go ye therefore, teach all. Amen? What's left out of all? That's what I heard too. Nothing. We say things like, I'm too busy. Or we'll use this excuse. I like this one. I like when I hear this one. I'm too old. We say, I'm too old. Let these young folks take over. Let these young folks do it. I serve my time. It's their time. See, Jeremiah had every excuse ready when God called him to be a prophet. His excuses are our excuses for not doing what God is telling us to do. And basically, that's why God went back to when he was born. And he said, I knew you before you were. In other words, I made you for such a time as this. So don't give me an excuse. You're here because I created you. Amen? I created you. You wouldn't be here if I didn't create you. So I'm telling you, before you knew who you were, I had already planted inside of you what I wanted you to do. This, a seed, a watermelon seed, is not ordained to be a tomato plant. Amen? It is not ordained to be a tomato plant. If it tries to be a tomato plant, it won't make it. Because what is inside of it is a calling to be a watermelon plant and to produce watermelon. Anything other than that it's not what it was called to do. So before it came forth out of another watermelon, it was already destined to be another watermelon. That's the calling on that seed's life. Never make excuses. We all make excuses. Y'all remember the banquet? I'm touch on it a little bit. I'll talk more about it later. But y'all remember the banquet, and this man, he was inviting everybody to come to the banquet, and this man said, I got a field that I need to go and check out. Another man said, I got an ox, some oxes that I just bought, and I need to go check them out. And everybody had an excuse. One man said he just got married, you know. All kind of excuses of why they couldn't come to this banquet. We all come up with excuses. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nation. He wasn't called to be a priest like his father and his grandfather. A prophet was a chosen and authorized spokesperson of God who declares God's word to the people. That's what a prophet do. We often think of a prophet as people who can just tell the future. Okay? Am I going to get this promotion? Am I going to get this raise? Am I going to marry this person? Am I going to, you, whatever. That's what we want that prophet to do, is to do those things. But a prophet is a spokesperson, a messenger to present not only the present, but also the future ramifications of the things that you do and don't do. So they are basically messengers of God, and their job is to call people out of their sinful state and into the acknowledgement of God. Being a prophet is more demanding than serving as, I would say, a preacher. The priest's duties or preacher's duties is really predictable. What I do is predictable. You all remember Prophet O'Bannon, right? He was a prophet, and he spoke a word into many people's lives. He would often say that it is a blessing to be a prophet, but it's also a burden to be a prophet, because it's a very demanding job. My job as a pastor is predictable. You pretty much know what I'm going to do. Get up, speak a word, sit down. Okay? Shepherd the flock. Pretty much predictable, but not so much with the prophet. A prophet assignment can change. And that is the frustrating part about people, because you don't understand God, you don't understand the assignment. So therefore, if you notice, when you saw him, he was in a state. And that state was a state of assignment. In other words, he used to travel all across the country. Didn't really have a job, right? His job was really just preaching the gospel. If you really look at the people in the Bible, those prophets that God called, how many of them do you know who was a prophet had a job? Not many, right? They all were going from place to place. Understand, follow me. They were all going from place to place. None of them really had any type of steady income. They were just prophesying, doing God's work, and that's really much, pretty much all they did. Very demanding job. Prophets, if they say something and you don't agree with it, you get mad. Then you want to call them a false prophet. Amen? Or if it don't come to pass fast enough, you want to call them a false prophet. Or, I ain't fooling with them. They don't know what they're talking about. Or how can you predict the future? How can you? It is a very demanding job. They have to preach. They have to say things that is not favorable. Amen? Jesus was also called to be a prophet. He traveled from place to place, challenging the people to change so that their future in heaven would be guaranteed. Jesus spoke to the hearts of people. Most did not accept his message of repentance, for they did what they wanted to do. They didn't want to change. God may assign you a same task, but his call keeps you going when you don't want to go further. That's what you hold on to. It's the call of God. We have the promise of God's purpose. You know, God said to Jeremiah, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. In other words, I knew what I was doing when I created you. So I put everything inside of you for such a time as this. Okay? God was working in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was chosen. He was known by name, handpicked by God, and commissioned to serve. Those acts give one of the greatest sense of purpose. The promise of God's purpose allows us to let go of our own plans and to receive God's plans without fear. Jeremiah and Jesus what they did was they accepted their calling, not knowing. And I say that because Jesus is all-knowing, you know, because he was God. But they accepted the call that God has given them. And they did it, and they did it for the love of God. But here's the thing. Jeremiah was making excuses. I'm young. I'm too young for this. That's one of the things that I said. And sometimes, you know, people come here and they say, well, the pastor is too young. I don't think he's really old enough. In other words, let me translate that, experienced enough to really be a pastor. You know, here's the thing. What is experience? Okay? If God called you, he qualified. God's anointing is better than man's appointing any day. Okay? God has a way to overcome weakness and insufficiencies. He has a way of doing that. So when you try to put up these excuses by saying that you can't do something, here's what they're saying to me. It's just saying that you haven't been trained properly. Okay? Everybody know that I love baseball, and that's pretty much what I do. That's what I talk about because that's what I love. Now, my son doesn't know how to play, but I'm teaching him how to play, and I've showed people some videos of him swinging the ball. So what I'm saying is he doesn't know how to, but proper training will give him the knowledge to understand and know how to. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, what is that training doing? It's taking away the excuse. You see what I'm saying? You can say all day long, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to do this. Pastor, I don't know how to. But you know what? Proper training. Y'all remember old school BTU? Y'all remember that? Back in the day, boy, you was in church all day. Boy, I'm telling you, it'll make you mad. I mean, you was in church all day. You can just pretty much knew when Sunday came, Sunday, it was over. When you got up, it was over. Because you were in church all day. You didn't get, Sunday was like a weekday. I mean, like a regular work day. I mean, So my point, and then don't have an evening service because you try to squeeze BTU in between all of that stuff and Lord's Supper and everything, and you by the time you get out of church, man, you hear crickets. Am I right? Y'all know, if y'all been to one of those churches where you was in there all day, pack your lunch because you ain't going nowhere. You're going to be there for a while. And then don't let one of them praying deacons get up. They be praying for about an hour. Some of them need to start praying when they get home, when they leave home. And then that'll cut some of that time out. So by the time you ask them to come up, they be halfway finished. I mean, praying for everybody. If your name wasn't on the list, you got called. But we talk about our inadequacies. We talk about why we can't do something. We talk about our flaws and all of this type of stuff. But you have to understand, through Christ, who strengthens me, okay, it takes away those flaws. Moses made an excuse, Lord, I don't speak well. I can't do this. I'm not capable of doing this, Lord. First of all, I heard somebody say, Lord said, you ain't going to be using your words anyway. Amen? You ain't going to use your words anyway, Moses, so you're going to be using my words. So I'm not asking you to do your thing. I'm asking you to do mine. Then another excuse we make, time is not right. It ain't going to never be right. I'm going to be honest with you, especially if it's something that you don't want to do. You know what I'm saying? Time would never be right. If it's something that you don't enjoy doing, you don't want to do, it ain't never a good time. I'm young. You ain't going to be young all the time. Keep what old folks say, just keep on living, young man. Just keep on living. That's what I used to always hear when I was growing up. Just keep on living. You'll understand why your knee hurting and you ain't did nothing. You understand why your arm is hurting, want to come off, and you ain't even lifted up. Oh, you don't understand why I'm losing hair and you still got a full head of hair. Well, I'm getting there. As the old folks say, just keep on living. Mm-hmm, that's prophecy. Amen? How many of y'all know that's prophecy? Because I'm sure enough living in it right now. All that stuff is hurting and going away. God's call can come at any time. You can be riding your bike down the street, having fun, enjoying life, and all of a sudden God calls you. You're like, what? Excuse me? That's what happened to me. Here it is. I was on the couch, minding my own business, in the comfort of my home, that the Lord blessed me with, because I prayed about it, y'all, and enjoying life. And we were in transition from one ministry to another, and I was like, let's just join a church and just fit in somewhere, not try to be out front or nothing. Just sit there, and I'm laying down on the couch, just minding my own business, and God says, start from scratch. And I said, huh? Start from scratch? I ain't doing that. This is what I said. Don't want to start from scratch. So God said, let me understand what you just said to me. So I blessed you with this job that you prayed for. And God, I'm going to tell you something. This is how I know the Lord was talking to me. Because a prophet had repeated every word that I said in the comfort of my bedroom, kneeling on the side of my bed. My prayers, word for word, not leaving out anything in my prayer. And the prophet looked at me and said, did you not say that to God? It's almost kind of like, did you not laugh? That was the revelation that I got. You remember how Sarah laughed and she tried to back up and say that she didn't laugh? Well, after this prophet had prophesied every word that I said to God on the side of my bed, because she said, didn't you say that on the side of your bed? Did you not say that? Word for word. I couldn't say no, because then I'd be a liar. So I had to say, yes, I did say that. So God said to me, I blessed you with this job that you prayed for, that you wanted, that you were in tears about, that you said that you would obey me if I bless you with this job. And the job started from scratch, and you helped this company rise up to the top. And you mean to tell me you will not help me start from scratch? And you helped this company start from scratch? One of the first employees to be hired? And still with the job today? I had to eat my words. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't cool eating your words, y'all. I'm going to be honest with you, especially if it's something that you put out there with an attitude. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I ain't talking about nobody but myself. It ain't a blessing eating your words. So God was sending him to speak. God said, whatever I tell you, you do that. Don't be afraid at anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you. This is the Lord saying this. He's telling him, I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. When God sends you to do something, you may feel, it may look like you're by yourself. But what they don't see in the atmosphere is the Lord of hosts with you. Amen? Amen. God, when God sends you to do something, God is not sending you alone. God is sending you for a reason and for a purpose. And trust me, anybody that hinders God from doing what God wants to do, woe be unto that person. It actually really would be better if you weren't even born when you go up against God. So God told Jeremiah, told him about what's going on. Jeremiah pretty much knew this. Before Jeremiah could experience God's presence, he had to go where God sent him, speak what God told him, and reject fear. When God calls you to a task, he does not give us a roadmap to follow and then leave us without resources. He walks with us. When God told Abraham to get among your kindred, God did not just say, hey, here's a roadmap, go. No, God said, go. Get up and go. Where am I going? I'll tell you when we get there. Now, the Bible doesn't say what Sarah said, okay? Really, it don't really go in. It doesn't say much about how, but I can tell you that been like, I can't get in a car without my wife asking me where we going, especially if she don't know. No woman would sit there and be like, oh, well, hold up, where we going? We ain't finna just ride. We going somewhere. The presence of God is with you when you are doing what God said do. The Lord didn't give Jeremiah a joyful message of deliverance to announce. Y'all know that? It wasn't a joyful message. It was a message of tragic and judgment, consequences. Jeremiah would be misunderstood, persecuted. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He had to preach a message. He would have been, he was arrested and in prison. Life was threatened. People did not want to hear the truth, more like today. People don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to listen to the truth. Let a Christian who understands, who can hear from God, start speaking the truth to someone, I guarantee you they're not going to want to hear it. They're not going to want to hear it because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what God has to say. But God was telling Jeremiah, you need to say something to these people. Because here's the point. God is not going to continue to allow sin to run its course. God does not like sin. He cannot tolerate sin. So God is not going to continue to allow sin to just run rampant. Amen? That's just not going to happen. Anybody that takes care of their yard, listen to what I'm saying. Anybody that takes care of their yard is not going to allow those weeds to just take over. They're going to keep those weeds under control. Am I right? If you got a garden, I guarantee you, you got those weeds under control. Because if you don't, they'll tear that garden up. Choke everything you tried to plant. And even grow up looking like something that you did plant. And making you think that it is what it is, but it ain't what it ain't. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to take care of that garden. You're going to take care of your lawn. So God is going to take care of this planet that he made. So I understand that sinful things are going on. Laws are being passed to accommodate people's sinful lifestyle. And they're celebrating. They're rejoicing. They're happy. They're on cloud nine. I mean, you can't touch them right now. Because everything is so wonderful with our politicians doing everything for them. But there's going to come a day. Judgment is going to come. Listen to what I'm saying. This is what God is telling Jeremiah. Talk to those folks. Talk to them. Tell them. Jeremiah already said, they're going to crucify me if I go and tell them this. Let me tell you something. It ain't going to be easy. Listen to when Jesus was on earth preaching and teaching. Jesus basically was straightforward. He didn't beat around the bush. His teachings were dangerous, but his teaching also cost him his life. Think about it. So he's saying, Jesus, if you're reading the Bible, he's saying, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. It ain't going to be any different. What God says through us may be dangerous, but God gives us the strength to endure. We have the promise of God's prevailing spirit. In the Bible, and I believe it's in Jeremiah 1:18, and it says, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brassen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they," verse 19, "shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." You're going to face opposition. You're going to face people scolding you, talking about you, saying all kinds of things about you. But God is saying, I am with you. Notice the architectural terms in this verses that I read. A fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls. They are solid. All of that are solid and unshakable, like the God who conceived them and the prophet who they would come to characterize. God reassured Jeremiah, attack, they will, yes. Overcome you, they can't. The person who stands with God will prevail. Someone once said, with God, you are the majority. Alone, you are helpless. With God, you will prevail. God was expecting immediate action from Jeremiah. When God tells us to do something, listen to what I'm saying to you. When God tells you to do something, it is for you to do it right then. It is not for you to think about what God is trying to tell you to do. It is for you to move when God say move. Here's where I'm going with that. Y'all remember the children of Israel. God had opened up that promised land for them, right? They were supposed to take it while it was a given possession. Now, did they do what God say do? No. Because they felt like it wasn't for them. Okay, now here's the problem. When they finally got it in their head that they wanted to go over, that blessing that they thought would still be there wasn't there. I'll break it down to you this way. How many of you all have went shopping and you saw something that you wanted to get, but you said, I'm going to come back and get it. And then when you go back, it ain't there. You missed out on it, right? Made you mad, didn't it? Yeah, I know it did, but it's gone. Okay? It's gone. Somebody else got that blessing. You follow me? And now they shouting. And they thanking you for not being obedient. You see what I'm saying? Here's where I'm going with that. So all of those, our generation, the older generation, died not being able to go into the promised land that God had called them to go into. So they never saw it. They missed out on that wonderful opportunity. All because of disobedience, because they didn't move when God say move. Now, I understand that if I say to my right leg move, it'll move, okay? Then I'm basically thinking that I got my own power, right? I do what I want to do. If I tell my right hand to wave, you know, it'll wave. We thinking that we got that power to do it. But God is saying when I tell you to do something, you do it. You don't sit back and think about what you're going to do. What I'm saying is I had to go back to my family and say, hey, God is saying that we need to start from scratch. And he's telling me that I need to lead this. And I had to eat my words. And it ain't fun eating your words. Because it makes you seem like you don't know what you're talking about. It could make you seem like you wishy-washy. But the problem is, when I made that comment, I didn't ask God what he thought about it. That's the difference. See, I was speaking out of self. When you speak out of self, you say things. That's why when I get upset, I get mad, I'm like, Lord, keep my tongue. Because I'm going to say something that I know I'm going to regret. So I'm like, Lord, please, please let me shut up because I don't know how to do that. Because the more you come at me, the more I come at you. I don't know how to stop. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So I tell God, I say, Lord, please keep my tongue. Lord, I don't want to say take it out because I know I'm going to need it. But I be trying to say, Lord, do something with it. Whoo. Boy, it's hard. See, God called Jeremiah to act right now. Not later, right now. He was called to move out among the people. He was called to deliver an offensive message. He would not be welcome, nor would he be accepted. He would anger his listeners. That's a message from God. If you ain't living right, if you ain't doing right, I'm going to tell you, it's going to make you mad. That's what God's message does. And I'm going to get on, I'm going to dive a little deeper than that. God expects obedience immediately. Okay? He don't expect you to think about it and then get back with him. That's not how God works. This is not you going to a dealership, nah. And you gonna mess with, some people like to mess with the dealers. No, it ain't gonna buy a car, but just ain't got no time on their hand. Wanna go there and mess with the dealers and get the dealers all right up and then leave, and it wasn't intended on buying nothing anyway. And their reason for doing it is to stay in practice. And ain't bought a car since 1998, probably. Or 2000, I don't know. It's been a long time. That's all I'm saying. Makes no sense to me at all. But it gets a thrill out of it. I mean, it's happy. Almost as happy when he up here singing. Oh, did I tell y'all who it is? Did I tell you? Yes, I did. Immediate obedience is the only appropriate response when God calls. Y'all know that? When God say do something, I mean, you got to get up and do it. We want that same respect as parents, right? When we tell our children, come here. They don't be sitting on the couch. One time I did that to Bob. Woo, he told me up. He said, I want y'all to clean up this house. This is when I wanted to organize a strike in the house. I said, y'all, we can clean up the house, but he didn't say do it now. But we will clean it up, but not now. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We gonna clean it up, we ain't gonna do it now. So they started cleaning and I sat down. And I was chilling. Bob came around. We was in East St. Louis. He came around that corner. I said, oh, Lord. He said, and then he looked. Immediately what he saw was disobedience. Now, I know this making some of y'all laugh, but it wasn't funny. Because what he saw was immediate disobedience to his word. His word said, clean up this house. What I did was sit down on his word. Understand what I'm saying? When I sat down on his word, that was rebellious. Understand what I'm saying? And he, being the man of the house, did not like it. So therefore, he went into action for my disobedience. I deserved it. Didn't like it, but I deserved it. Understand what I'm saying? You will be punished for your actions. Only you can control your actions. Amen? So when God say do something, don't be thinking about if anybody's going to like. God didn't care. He told Jeremiah, preach this word. He told Jonah, preach to Nineveh. I don't care if they like it or not. You preach my word. Who cares about what they think? I'm God. I'm Almighty God. Who can come against me? I haven't lost anything. He called him for this perfect purpose. And he also equipped him for this purpose. So in other words, God is saying everything you have inside of you right now for this moment is in you. All I need you to do is just stir it up, man. Y'all ever had a pot that sit on the stove? Sometimes you got to stir it up. Everything has settled. See, what was inside Jeremiah, it was settled. But God was saying, I need to stir this up because I know what I put inside of him. And when you stir the ingredients up, it arrives to where it's supposed to be. So God was saying to him, I need you to preach my word. Now, let me say this to you. Preaching is the greatest calling of God and is the means by which he calls sinners to himself and the means by which he equips those he calls for service. Preaching has been downplayed in the churches. is being downplayed. In some churches, it's not only downplayed, but has been, in other words, been replaced. Listen to how some churches view preaching. One church advertised their church, they wrote, "There is no fire and brimstones here." This is what they're preaching now. "There's no fire and brimstones here. No Bible thumping. Just practical preaching, you know." And basically, you know, some churches are saying, you know, there's a message that just make everybody feel good. You won't be threatened with hell or referred to as sinners. The goal is to make everybody feel welcome, not drive them away. This is what some churches are now being preached or allowed to be preached across the pulpit. You know, there are upbeat and sharp messages, you know, so you can get home in time to see your program that you want to see, and you won't miss anything. You won't hear a lot of preaching about sin or damnation and hellfire. Preaching here doesn't sound like preaching. It's a little soft. You see what I'm saying? This is what they got now in churches. Preaching today has been replaced with clever and informal, positive, brief, and friendly messages. The reason why preaching is being downplayed is so many churches is in the market of trying to just get everybody to come and fill up the church so the pastor can fatten up his wallet. That's what it's about. The experts are telling us that pastors and churches, church leaders who want to be successful and build a nice church must go into this new direction. This new direction, provide non-Christian with an agreeable and inoffensive environment. Give them the freedom, the tolerance, and to do whatever they want to do. You had one leading pastor that said you need to find a church that accepts your values. You got to be kidding me. Accepts your values. Let me tell you something. This world is showing you that man cannot govern itself. It needs someone higher. And the only one that's higher than us is God. We cannot govern ourselves. Look at our government. Look at our politicians. They come around to get your vote. When they get your vote, you can't get them. And they tell you that some churches, if you want a sermon, keep it brief. We don't want to keep the people too long. Folks start wrestling in their seats and things like that. We don't want them to get uncomfortable. You know, back in the day, you didn't have these cushioned seats. It was wood. I got pinched. And it hurt. You tell people on the street, be still. I'm sitting on this crack. I mean, I'm serious. Have y'all ever got pinched? Am I the only one? I got pinched. That wood was split. And your grandmother looking at you, be still, boy. Are you kidding me? I just got pinched. And you got your cousins. You know, never let cousins. I grew up with a lot of them. That's a wrong thing to do. Let all of us sit together. Because somebody's going to do something silly. And just get you all out of service. I was trying to get saved at a young age, but I couldn't do it because of cousins. See, it took me a long time to get saved. If y'all believe that, I got something else to sell you. They don't want you to be too preachy in church. They don't want you, they want you to keep everybody entertained. That's what they want now. They want you to entertain folks. You know, people, don't be no disrespect, but if you can sing, God bless you, that is a gift. But they want their preachers, their pastors to sing because that's what's driving them to the church. It ain't the message. It's just that they want to see the pastor catch a tune and start singing and say, boy, didn't he really preach? No, he really sang. Amen? He sang too long. See, people, the goal is to be what God has called you to be. God determines the role for you. The Bible is not a marketing plan. It's supposed to be the sole blueprint and final authority for all church ministries. That's what it was for. Ministry should meet people's real needs, not solve their selfishness. Y'all follow me? It's not supposed to make people couch potatoes. No longer are pastors trained to declare to people what God demands of them. Instead, they are counseled to find out what the people's demands are, then do whatever is necessary to meet those demands. More and more people pleasers are filling this pulpit in our churches. Scripture is overruled by the marketing plan that they put in place to be the authority guide of the ministry. If God wanted us to follow that marketing plan, he would have gave that to Jeremiah years ago. But he didn't give it to Jeremiah. He gave Jeremiah a message of repentance. That's what he did. When Jesus was walking on earth, Jesus pitied sinners, sighed and wept over them, but never sought to amuse them at all. Not one time did Jesus say, okay, I'm being a little rough on y'all, okay? So let me kind of tone it down a little bit. It's okay for you to do this over here and fornicate. You go right ahead. He didn't say this. He came and preached the hell out of the church. Peter and John were locked up for preaching. They turned the world upside down. The disciples went everywhere preaching. They didn't have time to arrange for an entertainment message. They preached it raw. Understand what I'm saying. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it. But it didn't stop them from preaching. Why? Because they ended up in jail. Some of them were killed because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's how I know they didn't stop. This is what Paul wrote to the Galatians and confronted their turning away from God who called them in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. This world is trying to get us Christians, preachers. They're trying to pass laws to tell us what we can preach from the pulpit. Understand what I'm saying. Laws are being passed to tell us what we can preach across this pulpit. That's not going to happen. I may have to go to jail, y'all. Understand what I'm saying to you. Because they're trying to tell us what we can preach. They're saying we're preaching hate messages. No, we're not preaching a hate message. If you want to arrest somebody, arrest God. It ain't going to happen, but try that. In Galatians, he said in Galatians chapter 1, 10 and 12, somewhere around there, For do I now persuade men of God, who do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He ain't preaching his own message. He ain't preaching his own words. He's preaching what God, the creator of heaven and earth, gave him. This is what he's preaching. It's Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 5. Somewhere in there you can find it. He said, I charge you, Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear this. But according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I'm preaching this. Amen? I'm preaching this. If I may have to go to jail, but I'm going to preach this. You know, and I'm going to tell you this. One thing I learned about reading of the apostles is that when they went to jail, some of the best sermons came out of the jail cells. Some of the best messages that we are preaching today came when they were thrown in jail, when they were about to die, when they were putting their life on the line for Jesus Christ. They did it for Jesus. Yes, they suffered. Yes, they were in jail. Yes, they were persecuted. But I guarantee you now, each and every one of them are rejoicing in heaven. Because fear not the man that can destroy the body, but the one who can destroy both body and soul. Preach God's word. This world is not going to accept it. They don't want to hear it. Listen, everybody wants to know how you feel about it. No, it's not how I feel about it. It's what God's word says about it. People need to stop asking you how you feel. I have no heaven or hell to put you in. I didn't create anybody. Understand what I'm saying. What I'm trying to tell you is that we need to find out what the word of God says about your situation. What is God saying about your deeds? Because whatever God is saying, it is true. Whatever man is saying, it is a lie. And I'm going to preach regardless of how people feel or what people think. I'm not using somebody's market plan to get people into the ministry. I'm using God's authority to get people where they need to be. And that is in heaven. Jesus didn't use no market plan to preach the gospel. Anybody that walked up, he preached to them. He told them about themselves. The lady at the well said, come see a man who told me about myself. Who else could do that? Nobody but the Lord. You mean to tell me that I'm going to water down God's word just to please a group of people who don't care nothing about me? Y'all know they don't. They don't care anything about you, because the first time you're going to need them, you ain't going to be able to reach them. But they want you to reach their message. Let me say this as I close. You need to do what God say do. It ain't going to be pretty. It ain't going to be nice. And let me tell you something. It ain't going to come to you all wrapped up and packaged up real nice and pretty where you can enjoy it, Ms. Angela. It ain't going to come like that. It's going to come ugly. Understand what I'm saying. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me just say this. Let me just break this down to you. I understand that, you know, you say you're Christian. But when they find out that you're a pastor, they finna bring it. Understand what I'm saying. They getting ready to bring it. They getting ready to persecute you. Not that they won't persecute a Christian, but when you say you are a pastor, a minister of God's word, they do this. Game on. Y'all think I'm playing with you? Because they want to challenge you. They want to get you riled up. They want to get you fired up for the wrong reason. They want to see if they can rattle you. They want to see if they can shake something off of you. They want to see if they can convert you. So they look at you and they try to attack you, both spiritually and physically. Let me tell you something. This world is going into a state where, let me tell you something, only God can get us out. There's no politician that can pass a law that's going to help us, that's going to get us out of this mess. They're the ones that got us in, passing all these laws. Ain't nothing they can do for you. The only one that can save you, the only one that can deliver you is Jesus Christ himself. This is why he came to tell you about the Father, to bring the connection back, because it was disconnected. He had to connect you back to the source to get your blessing, because you're not getting any help from down here. So God said, I got to go and get my people, and I got to save them, because they're on a dangerous road. They're about to run off a cliff. I got to save my people. In other words, I got to redeem them. We are a redeemed people. We got God stamped all over us. When people look at you, they ain't just looking at you. They're looking at Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for you. Let me say this. You think they got a problem with you? It ain't you. It's Jesus they got a problem with, because he got out of that grave. He showed them up when they thought they killed him, but they didn't kill him. They just made him go higher. You got to understand who you're serving. You're not serving a man, but you're serving God Almighty. He ain't like these doctors. They want to make sure they get paid. You got insurance before we see you. God said, come on, all who are heavy labor, I will give you rest. I will help you. Whosoever will, let him come. How can you turn down that? He ain't charging us anything. He's not charging us. He said it's free. Salvation, free to all. Anybody, just accept it. That's all you have to do. Make no excuses. Make no excuses about serving God. There's an invitation that has gone out. And I, as I close, you know, when you write an invitation, that's personal. Am I right? Minister Corey, you had a wedding. You sent out invitations. That was personal, because she identified everybody. She identified everybody on this invitation that she wanted to come. She even had a list, and she sent the invitation out for people to come and enjoy. God is sending out an invitation to everyone. Whosoever will, let them come. This is why, you know, God got so excited himself. He said, eyes have not seen. He said, ears haven't heard. All of the things that I have in store for you. You know what that tell me? That tell me that the Lord knows how to throw a party. He knows how to get down. And I know you love to party, and you like to have some fun. Let me tell you something. We will feast and never get tired. We're going to be shouting too. We can get our pre-praise on now. We can shout right now. We don't have to wait. We can say glory. Doors of the church is now open.